Can you, George, you want to turn your chat on?
How do we sleep while our beds are burning? How can we dance when our earth is turning? How do we sleep while our beds are burning? The time has come to say this fair, to pay the rent now, to pay our share.
All right, welcome back to the Up North Podcast, everyone. We talked a bit about winter in Wisconsin in our last segment and some of the things that make it special. And there are things that make this state pretty awesome all throughout the year. But we learned long ago that from the Teddy Roosevelts, from the Aldo Leopolds of the world, people like former governors Gaylord Nelson and Warren Knowles, that if you are not proactive in protecting your natural resources, there are always going to be folks who are willing to tear it up, chop it down, fill it in, dump on it, build on it, and then frankly pass the cost on to future generations. We are expecting our state natural resources board to stay above politics and be that protector, but there have been, Kirk, shall we say, some troubling developments on that front.
Yeah, so this is why this story has to do with up north Wisconsin. There's a guy named Fred Prehn, or Prehn, if I'm announcing it wrong, from Wausau, who happens to be not only a dentist, an owner of a gun shop, but also until very recently, a cranberry farmer. Not necessarily any of those any degrees in environmental science or ecology. But our super PAC also looked at this gentleman, and it looks like he donates a lot of money to Republican politicians in Wisconsin. So not that being a donor to politicians automatically gets you appointed to state boards, but it often helps. So Prehn was appointed to the State Natural Resources Board in 2015 by Republican Governor Scott Walker. Prehn is currently serving as the chair of the board, his third consecutive time being elected to that role. Prehn's appointment ended last May, but he decided he wasn't going to leave the board. It's like you lost the game in the football game, and you decided because you didn't like the results, you're going to stay on the field until you get your way. So he cited a 1964 Supreme Court decision that says board members can stay on after their term expires until a replacement is confirmed by the state Senate. So listen to this. So far, the state Senate, which is led by a Republican majority, have basically said they're not going to confirm any of Evers' appointees to any state boards. So we've got a bit of a problem. And it's even more of a problem because the Natural Resources Board sets the policy for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the DNR, which so many hunters and fishers know about, and it's so important to this state. So we got a quandary. We got Senate Republicans are refusing to confirm any of Evers' appointees, and there's a law on the books that allows Walker appointees to stay on until new appointees are confirmed. It seems like it's a no-win situation. So Sarah, introduce our new guest and have him help us unpack what's going on here.
Absolutely. Thanks for summing that up, Kirk. Well, here to help us unpack what's going on is George Meyer, retired secretary of the DNR. George had a 30-year career with the DNR and worked on many of the most challenging and often controversial policy issues affecting the state, which include hunting regulations, chronic wasting disease, air and water quality, wetland and shoreline protection, among so many others. After retiring from the DNR in 2002, Meyer served as the first executive director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation and was appointed a visiting professor at Lawrence University in Appleton, teaching courses in environmental policy and law. We're sure we missed a lot of your accolades, Professor Meyer, but thank you so much for being a guest on tonight's show. Welcome.
It's great to see you all. Good topic.
We appreciate your expertise, George. And I have to say now, as a former state senator myself, I cannot express deeply enough how outright corrupt it seems to me to deny a governor elected by the people his choice of cabinet secretaries and board appointees. It's nothing short of hijacking democracy, in my opinion. It shows an urgent need to reform a confirmation process now that Republicans have forever destroyed the honor system that served our state for well over a century. So, George, I'm interested in your opinion on all this. What are the implications to the DNR and to the state by a Scott Walker appointee refusing to leave the board after his term's expired?
You know, I'd make preface my comments by saying I would say this whether it was a Democrat doing it or a Republican. The way the system is set up, that when a governor comes in, over the period of 4 years, he'll have sufficient numbers of the Natural Resources Board to carry out the policies that that person ran for governor on. So from a just a government structure standpoint, it's the will of the people that's being thwarted. And what's really troubling, and Kirk mentioned it, there's really a collusion going on between the state Senate and Doc Preen sitting as chairman. But there's more to it. These things have become public. Follow the money is usually the situation. And what we've heard or seen and reported and open records is that allegedly Doc Preen has not talked to the senator's office, but others have. There's intermediaries. He's been approached and was working with representatives of Wisconsin Manufacturers of Commerce on this. Doc was directly, and also Hunters Nation, which is a far right group. It's really involved in politics more than the policy issues of hunting and fishing. And they were talking to the senator staff. And the reason those two groups were involved is WMC is very active in the issue of what regulation should be put in place for PFAS, which is this new chemical, not a new chemical, but one that's been found in our waters that causes extensive environmental problems and health problems. And they oppose any regulation of it, and so far have stymied any significant regulation in the state. Hunters Nation, their big issue is wolves. And they have, Doc Preen agrees with them on that, and so has the Senate offices. And that's why they're behind this. So there really is collusion for electoral practices. And following that, too, I just want to mention Hunters Nation is really has plans to make major contributions in the governor's race next year, and surprisingly, it's going to be against Governor Zevers. Not surprisingly, it's going to be against Governor Zevers. So you can see how the entanglement that's going on for strictly political purposes and undermining sound natural resource management.
So. Professor Myers, we have done a couple shows now on the PFAS chemicals all over Wisconsin, and we talked to the past mayor of Marinette, where this problem originated. We talked to the city administrator in Rhinelander, where if they lose one more well to contamination, they won't have enough water for their city. We just saw in the paper today that Wausau. And by the way, all these places are where we broadcast to. I mean, we're called the Up North Podcast, where we're supposed to have the cleanest water. We're supposed to have the most pristine lands. That's something you've been protecting for 30 years of your life. We more than that, probably. So PFAS is all over. It causes all types of cancers. It causes terrible things with unborn babies all over the place, and the Republican legislature over the last couple sessions have done everything they possibly could to not put to not have corporations who are putting these chemicals in our waters have to pay for the cleanup. And the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce historically has stomped on a bipartisan legislation introduced by both Democrats and Republicans in the Marinette area, because it was giving cancer to all these constituents and voters, that they stomped all over that and they squelched it. So when you say that the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce are talking to Fred Prehn about not leaving the board, through an intermediary or something. That makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I don't have a question for you, but that's just what I mean. I didn't even think about that, but this whole what we've been talking about for a year now is kind of like now becoming circular to me. Sarah, do you want to ask about Wolves or Pat?
Yes, it seems like wolf hunting has become sort of a blood sport in Wisconsin. If I read correctly, we're the only state in the nation that allows dogs to hunt wolves, which from what I understand is quite cruel. But what's your take on how we find a balance between managing the predator population, but doing it in a way that's responsible and enhances our ecosystem? That's what my dogs think of this.
I want to make it clear. I'm not against hound hunting at all. I headed an organization that had many hound hunters, and it's when it's done properly. It is not, what people think of canines attacking each other. But what I do agree is there's really a divide in the state. Some people do not want any wolves harvested. And there are people, and I don't think most of them are sportsmen, but that would get rid of every one of them. But what you have to have is sound management. You need to have a harvest and whatever effective methods, whether it's trapping. Hound hunting is very effective to help get the populations down, because there are really is impact on people that have pets, people, livestock and dairy, farmers. And hound hunting is legal in the state, has been for years, and their animals are impacted. There has to be middle ground. And that's what DNR's challenge is going to be, is to find that sweet spot. But there has to be a harvest, and because we have serious problems taking place without it. All at some point, key predators in today's time need some regulation and management. 300 years ago, they didn't. But now we have a built-up state. You have to be able to regulate predators.
Well, and it really is, it comes back to that whole notion of management. Like you said, good management, good care of something. Unfortunately, we live in a time right now that has been so politicized that if you were to, propose responsible management of something, well, you're anti-hunter. Or if you propose responsible management of police conduct, oh, well, you're anti-police. It's just so easy for people to right away go to the extreme rather than acknowledge that the whole point of having a management plan means that neither extreme is going to get everything they want, because you want to work toward the greater good. It's what we look for, in public servants, whether they're secretaries like yourself or board appointees. And so I wanted to ask you to elaborate a bit more on this whole notion of the confirmation process. Folks would wonder, if Fred Prent is still on the Natural Resources Board, can't you do something in court? And State Attorney General Josh Call tried, but the state Supreme Court basically deferred in many ways, saying the legislature writes its own rules. And I wonder if this was something you had maybe expected in years past, that this was potentially something that could come up someday, and if so, what you think the right path forward would be for the state.
Well, in fact, it has happened twice before. There were two board members, Jim Tiefenthaler and Steve Willett, who were Thompson appointees, stayed on longer, not with the controversy that Doc Green has, but ultimately they left voluntarily. And the positions were filled by the Senate. The problem, I would say, big problem is there should be a requirement. Sure, the Senate should have the right to oversee the appointments and vote on them, but there should be a deadline, say 90 days on these appointments. And if they don't like the new person, vote them down. That's their ability to do it. But this way, there's no accountability.
No, there isn't. And frankly, it gets to a point where again, we have this confirmation process for a sense of checks and balances, but there has to be an honor system involved, because even if you put a date on there, if you were to say the Senate has to object within 90 days, or, you know, the person automatically becomes secretary or board appointee or whatnot, there's nothing that would stop a renegade party someday from simply voting no on every governor's, you know, new appointees just out of spite. It's not the way you and I, you know, were brought up to respect the process, but it does make you wonder about whether the system of checks and balances, if that sense of trust can be brought back in, George.
Well, if they vote, it's like any other vote. They then are accountable on their record, and the next election, that's a record. This way, it's silence. People in, you know, whatever named senator will never know that their senator just abstained from voting and let this happen.
Yeah.
But at least when they're on record that they voted down, in this case, Senator Nas, or whoever would have been nominated, then they have to stand up for somebody to see an appointment come in and say, look at this highly qualified individual.
There you go.
That right. They didn't support.
And put them on the record. Yeah, exactly. Right. George Meyer, thank you so much for visiting with us and filling us in. We appreciate it so much.
Good to see and talk to you all.
All right. When we come back, a new legislative proposal that would make it easier to sell off Wisconsin's pristine natural areas. We'll explain next. You're up north.